you a second to get there while Tom's going down. Appreciate the singing, Tom. Amen. A little bit of reading to do, so let me get right to it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread and in sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear." The title of the message this morning is Many Voices. We know that Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs, not all of them, but he wrote most of them. Solomon was David's son, King David's son, and he was king of Israel after David. God gave Solomon wisdom, so much so that people came from all the ends of the earth, of the known earth. They came from all thousands of miles to hear him, just to hear him speak about things. That's how wise the Bible says that Solomon was. The tragedy of it all, though, is that Solomon began his reign as a man of wisdom, but in the end, he didn't obey the precepts that he himself wrote. Something happened to him along the way. He started listening to some other voices. What's going to go with the message, the title of the message today? Solomon, one of his problems was Solomon married hundreds of wives. He had hundreds of wives, and a lot of the marriages, he was marrying women from the other nations, and the thinking behind it was a political thing. He figured, you know, if you had somebody in the family that was from another nation, then you didn't have to worry about peace. Now, I want to tell you something. As wise as Solomon was, I'm not as wise. I don't claim to be as wise as Solomon, but I know this. When you got God on your side, you don't have to worry about peace. You don't have to worry about war. We got all that figured out. Solomon should have known that. He didn't have to marry women for a political ally or to make things better between his relationship with the other nations. It was a scheme, and you know, people, humans, we're real good at scheming things, trying to get things done our way, and so he did something that he didn't need. But the problem was a lot of those wives were idolaters, and so they worshiped false gods, and over the course of time, what happened that they turned his heart from the one true God, what he knew in his mind, the wisdom that he had, they turned his heart away from that to the false gods and the false worship. And so, you know, he started out well, but he didn't end up too well. And so he started listening, and going with the title of the message, he started listening to the other voices that were going on around him apart from the voices of God. Now we think about the world that we live in today. It's more so, you older folks know this. I've shared this from the pulpit before. You younger people don't know nothing about this. There used to be a time we had 3 TV channels and that was it. And at 12 o'clock, the TV went off the air. And I know y'all thinking, what? Yeah, it went off the air. You had a test pattern on there going, so you turned it off. And the next morning at 6 or 6:30, it came on. Believe it or not, they did the Pledge of Allegiance on television before the station. It was the beginning of another broadcasting day. That's what it used to say. I grew up down Virginia Beach, so that's where I was at. It was the beginning of another broadcasting day. The TV came on, and they even had something about where I lived. It had about the bread of life. It talked about daily bread, and it was talking about the Lord on television, believe that or not. But now look at it. TV's on 24 hours a day. I don't know. I think you got 150 channels or something. Most of them are trying to sell you something. So, I mean, I don't watch those. But, there's television. It's on 24 hours. We've got radios that, all over the world, radio stations, cell phones. If they're not ringing, we've got social media. We've got Facebook and all the other little things that are on there. And we get telephone calls about everything. More people worry about my extended warranty on my automobile than I do. I get calls about it all the time. And I had a call the other day, and the guy said, they don't tell you who they are. They can barely speak English. He gets on the phone. He said, and he doesn't tell me who he's calling from. He goes, if I could save you money on your car insurance, 30% on your car insurance, would you do it? I just said, no. I said, no. He didn't know what to say. He hesitated. That's all I needed. I hung up my cell phone. So we get calls about that. I get calls about Medicare, crying out loud. If you're getting close to Medicare, let me advise you, do not punch any buttons on your phone. Don't click on any links on your phone. You'll never hear the end of it. It takes years to get rid of all that. So we've got all that going on in our life. It's what we call like background noise. We got to have it. Most people, you got to have a fan running all the time. Like you can't go to sleep with that. It's like a pacifier. You got to have a fan running because mama probably had a fan running when you was a baby so she could drown out your crying. Now you done got used to it. Now you got to have the fan on. Is you got to have background noise. We put on the TV sometime. We don't watch it. We got to have background noise. You get in the car. You got the radio on. You older people know about this. When you get in a real trafficy area, you got to turn the radio down so you can drive better, because that noise distracts. That goes with the man. It distracts you. So you got to turn the radio down. So wait a minute. Don't talk to me. Turn the radio down. We got all these noises going on in the background around our life. And so you go on, and even with you go on the TV with all the channels, there's preaching on there, all kind of preaching. Listen, they're not all telling you the same thing. They're telling you all kind of, there's a lot of shysters on there. All they want you to do is send in the money. Send in that seed money. Seed money, seed money, seed money. I don't find it in the Bible, but that's what they say, man. And I'm telling you, it drives you nuts. And so there's a lot of voices there. They may some of them tell you something different than I'm telling you. Well, I'm telling you, I'm right and they're wrong. That's all you need to know. And a lot of them agree. So the media knows. See, even the media people that do advertising, they know how to use like subliminal messaging in what they do to get your attention. It speaks to you somehow. There's been a lot of talk about what we see on television as far as sin and perverseness being made to appear normal or accepted in society. That's a brainwashing technique that this world system of Satan is using, even in cartoons. I'm telling you what, if you got kids watching cartoons, young kids, you better watch them. You better watch and see, man. Listen, this one's out, that one's out, this one's out. Because there's subliminal things that go on. What they're doing, they're having sinful things, perverse things appear as normal as it can be. And even though it doesn't make a verbal statement, it's making a mental thing for you children as they're growing up. And so we see that in the world that we live in too. But in the midst of all these voices that we hear and that we talk about, and there's other ones I didn't mention, like all the specialty groups. It seems like there's specialty groups everywhere in society, and they're real squeaky, and you hear their agenda, so we hear all that. Verse 20 says that wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. And so it says wisdom cries without. That means wisdom from God. That's talking about God's wisdom. is crying out. In the midst of all the voices and the noises that we hear, wisdom still cries out. We've got the Word of God today, and we can look at that. So I'm going to talk about three voices that we need to identify in the midst of all the other voices. There's three voices that we need to recognize, three voices that we can pay attention to in the midst of all the other voices. And the very first voice that we need to pay attention to is the voice of instruction. Verse 8, the Bible says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And then in verse 15, and continuing on that same thought, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." So we hear the voice of instruction here. We see that it's written, when we started down there in verse 8, it's written as the voice of a godly father urging his son to listen to the and obey the wisdom of what he hears. It also mentions listening to the mother, both parents that are involved right there. Now, I'm going to tell you what right here. You know, a lot of times in the world we're living in today, the fathers relegate the teaching, especially when it comes to spiritual things, they relegate that over to the mother, you know, the wife. You know, the mother will be the one telling their kids about the things of God. A matter of fact, most churches have more women than they have men because the wives are coming without their husband. Danielle had a testimony there at one time. She was coming, Philip wasn't coming. I mean, but you know, now Philip's in. Thank God for that. Amen. Philip got on fire for God. And this is going to fit you guys real well of what you had to say. I can't overemphasize how important, I'm going to give you some stats in a minute, how important the father's role is in raising your family, period, but also raising your family in a godly home or raising bringing up your family in church. I think both parents, you know, this was God's plan. Now listen, I know people are here that are not, they're not married, divorced, whatever happened in your life. I understand that. And this is where you're at right now. But I mean, God's the perfect plan. The perfect plan was one man, one woman, not Adam and Eve, you know, not Adam and Steve, but Adam and Eve. You know, it was one man, one woman. That was God's plan. And that they would stay married for life. That was a lifetime commitment. It's a spiritual bond. And that they would raise their family up in a godly home. That's the perfect plan. Now, we don't always do it perfectly. And so if it's messed up, God didn't do it, you know, that we did it. So we see that. I understand it. I'm sympathetic to that. And if you're a single mom raising kids, I mean, I'm sympathetic to that too. Do what you can do. Do what God wants you to do with that. You can do that. But if you got a spouse, I think both parents, they need to be on the same page. I see inconsistencies. I see marriage problems because of inconsistencies in raising the kids. Mama wants to do it one way, daddy wants to do it another, and it's not the same. So there has to be a consistency there. Also, consistency in how you discipline your children. You have to be on the same page about that. But I think both parents also need to be listening to the instruction from God. The parents need to do that. Any of the parents need to do that and listen to what God says. Not only listen to what he says, but do what he said. Obey him. Because a child, listen, a child can pick up on hypocrisy as quick as anybody. If you tell them one thing, and parents used to have a saying when I grew up, I didn't like it, made me mad then, it still makes me mad today. Don't do as I do as I say, do. Well, listen, I'd have a whole lot more faith in what you say do if you would go ahead and do it. You know, I'd have confidence it was the right thing to do. So I started looking. I read up this. This is a lot of these statistics came from Promise Keepers. If you know who Promise Keepers are, they do some surveys and stuff. But it had these statistics about the father in the family and faith. Do you know that Mother's Day is the third highest church attendance day? I guess word that, I don't know if that sentence makes sense to you. It was the third highest day of church attendance. Average is Mother's Day. Do you know what day is the lowest church attended Sunday? It's Father's Day. It's lower than 4th of July. It's lower than Memorial Day. It's lower than lower than Labor Day. And the thought is, like, well, I wonder why that was. And one of the thoughts that they came up with is that the thought is that the fathers do not value their participation in worship as much as the mother. That's what one of the thoughts. I believe that's correct. I mean, as a whole. Now, there's exceptions to everything. But I'm talking about this is average. This is a whole. This is what it says. Listen to these stats. If a father does not attend church, Even if the mother goes, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. Like I say, there's exceptions to that, but this is the average. This is what the overall average is. If the father doesn't go, even if the mom goes and takes the kids, one child in 50 is the average that will become a regular worshiper when they become adults, is what it means, when they become adults. If a father attends and the mother doesn't, listen to this, between two-thirds and three-quarters of their children will attend church as an adult if the father goes and the mother doesn't. So, man, I mean, boy, this has been a good Men's Day thing, right? This has been a good Father's Day message. This would be a good prayer breakfast, men's fellowship breakfast topic right here. I was thinking about that. If both parents attend, listen to this. Here's something good for a lot of you sitting in here. If both parents attend Bible study in addition to Sunday service, that could be Sunday school, it could be Wednesday night. If both parents attend Bible study in addition to Sunday school, 72% of their children will attend Sunday school as an adult. 72% is what they found. When only the father attends Bible study, 55% of the children will attend Sunday school as an adult or Bible study as an adult. If only the mother attends Bible study, only 15% of her children will do so as an adult. 15%. What an impact of the father. If neither parents attend Bible study along with Sunday service, only 6% of their children will attend anything outside of Sunday worship when they become adults. 6%, that's it. Listen to this. If a child is the first person in a family that gets saved, there's a 3 to 5% chance that the rest of the household will get saved if a child's the first one. If a mother is the first one in the household to be saved, come to faith in Jesus Christ, there's a 17% chance that other people, the rest of the household, will be saved. If the father is the first one in the family to be saved, there's a 93% chance that the rest of the household will come to faith. I thought about Cornelius right off the bat, man. When Cornelius got saved and his household got saved after him, man. I mean, just think about it. This is the order of things, folks. This is the order. This world is so out of order. That's why we can't figure out which bathroom we're supposed to go in when we go into a public building, whether you're supposed to wear a dress, whether you're supposed to, I don't know. You know, we don't know. It's a mass confusion. It's all turned around upside down. Manhood is under attack. Fatherhood is under attack. Womanhood is under attack. Everything in society is under attack by Satan. And I mean, this is the mess that we've got into. I'm just telling you what, I'm going to give you the standard, what the Word of God says is standard. And there's no reason why we can't stick to that. So, man, I'm telling you what, there's voices out there crying out. But I'm going to tell you what, this is written. Here we have the Father, the Heavenly Father. We've got the Word of God. Here's the voice of instruction right here. I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of voices calling out, and they're not interested in your soul, and they're not interested in your life, and they're not interested in caring about you. Man, they're caring about themselves. You better listen to the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is true. There's so much lying out there. There's lies everywhere. There's lies on top of lies. We don't know what the truth is. I'm going to tell you what's right here. We got the Word of God. So listen, what God's saying is listen like a father, because he is a father. Listen to the instruction of your father, and listen to the instruction of your mother too. If your mother's telling you right and your father's telling you right, if they're going with the Word of God, that's the instruction out of all the other voices. I don't care what your friends say. I don't care what your teacher says. I don't care what the government says. I'm not starting an insurrection, for crying out loud. I'm just saying, I don't care what it says as far as instruction goes. I'm just saying, you better listen to the Word of God. If you're looking for some truth to grab onto, this is it. This is it. Now we got the voice. The second thing, the second voice that we need to listen to is the voice of temptation. We saw it in verse 10 and 11 again. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Man, the voice of temptation. Verse 15 goes along with that too. My son, walk now in the way with them. Refrain from thy footpath. I've shared this with you when I was a kid. Man, I remember that. My dad was a cigarette smoker. I never did smoke cigarettes. I tried it. It gave me a bad headache. Somebody told me I'd get used to it. And I said I didn't want to get used to it. And I didn't do it. But I tried it. But I remember one day, innocent day, I've shared this with you before. I go out bebopping. I lived in a neighborhood in Virginia Beach, man. I bebopped out the front door, man, went looking for the gang, you know, all the guys, a bunch of boys lived on my street. When we got to be teenagers, all the girls in school said the favorite street was Dermot Avenue. And I said, why? Because I said, all the boys that live on that road, I was one of them, but we all lived on that road. She said, that was my favorite street. But I went looking for the gang, man, I went down there by the lake. We had a lake in the woods back of the neighborhood, big lake, Lake Smith. And we went bebopping down there, and there they all were. They're all huddled up. You know how when you look at a group and you know they up to something? I mean, you just look at them and you know. You know, just the way they're looking, they're all sitting around. One of them's on a bicycle. And I remember they was up there, hey, you got any money on you? We're going to go down and get us a pack of weeds. They called them weeds before we knew what the other weeds were. So they called a pack of cigarettes. We're going to go down and get a pack of cigarettes. 35 cents a pack back in those days. You know, you can't afford to smoke now, but back then you could. 35 cents a pack. So we're going to go down and get some cigarettes. We're going to try smoking. And I'm thinking, man, my heart rate just went up. My heart rate got to here. I thought, oh, man. Well, you know, you got to do it because everybody else is doing it, right? No, you don't have to, but I'm going to try. Oh, they're going to go down there. So old Danny Sneed, he got on the handlebars and somebody else rode the bike, banana seat and all that. Rode up there to the corner, boy, got the cigarettes and they came back. We got the Larks with the charcoal filter because we figured that charcoal filter would filter out that smoke and mom and dad wouldn't find out about it, right? But I'm going to tell you what, when I started my day off, my day wasn't, I'm going to go out the door here and get into some kind of something I shouldn't get into. I'm going to go out here and get, you know, do something bad. Now, all of a sudden, these knuckleheads, that's what they want to do. Well, you got to go along with it or you're going to get ostracized, right? They're going to call you a bunch of names that you can't repeat in church probably, and you got to do it, right? And so what happened, man, they all get around there. So, man, you know, I didn't inhale. I was like Bill Clinton. I mean, they gave me, I tried it out. And man, I went home, man, it was lunchtime. I went running in. I was nervous as a cat. Man, I ran, my mom, she could smell. And I went in there and I ran in the bathroom, got a bunch of toothpaste, put it in my mouth, got all that done. And then I went and got my little peanut butter and jelly sandwich and I had the high C fruit punch, man. And I was drinking that and I looked and I said, it looked like a little film on top of it. I said, man, there's a film, man, on my lips. I got to go scrub my lips off. I thought I was going to get caught. I didn't get caught. Why I go through all that stress in life? What happened? Those guys, the majority. And I got to thinking, it was like that show on Andy Griffith where that one boy wanted him stealing tomatoes and all that and breaking out the streetlight. They didn't want to do it. But one of them knuckleheads wanted to. And see if everybody else said, nay, we're not going to do it. I didn't listen to instruction, man. So it stressed out my Saturday morning. I'm going to tell you that. Stressed it out real bad until I got out of the house. Peanut butter all over my lips, and I was like, man, I mean, what a relief, right? You know, so it's the same thing. We've got that. But look what he says. It's, you know, it's not if the sinners entice thee, but when. You're going to get enticed by sinners. The other night, a couple of Wednesday nights ago, we brought all the young people over here from the other side that's here on Wednesday night. We brought them all over here, and we prayed for them. And we had this thought, and Brian and I talked about it too, and I said, you know what, here they go. We've got the kids that we teach on Wednesday night, Sunday school, Sunday morning, preaching time. And I said, you know what? But now they're going out. They're going back to school. Okay. And now you got what? We got a teacher that you can't call Mr. and Mrs. You got to call them MX or whatever. You know, they can't figure out what sex they are. You got that in there. They're going to be listening to that. They're going to be under the influence of what the teachers teach. And not everything they teach is lining up with the Word of God, right? Okay, so we prayed over the kids that you young people would have wisdom, have that spirit of wisdom that God gave you. Hey, I made it through public school. I got taught evolution by a lady that was a Jew, and she didn't believe a word of it. And she told us at the beginning of class, I've got to teach this to you, but I don't believe it. I believe God created everything. And I said, okay, so we sucked it all in, and I said, I went through that. I don't believe it either. I had to pass the class. So I prayed for the kid. We prayed for the kids would have the wisdom, you know, and that was our prayer to understand what's godly, what's ungodly, what the Word of God would teach versus what the school's going to teach. We prayed for that over for the young people, and we still pray for them every day when they go to school. Sherry and I, we pray for the kids going to school. But there's going to be a lot of voices pulling at you, not only at school, but all your life. This world is going to hell in a handbasket. And this world is going to take you with them if it can, and they're going to pull you, and there's going to be things that you're just going to have to say no. I don't believe that. I don't agree with it. I'm not doing that. You're not going to make me believe it, you know, because I know what the truth is. It's okay. Take a stand for what's the truth. And so, some of the teaching that they may teach, you may have to have discernment about that. Hey, pass your class. Just don't believe it. just don't believe it. And pray to hear the voice of God through all those things. We pray about that. Verse 10, it said, consent thou not. You know, lost people, they love to drag other people with them. They just can't do it by themselves. Hey, listen, if you want to go out and sin, I mean, I'm not approving of this, but I'm saying just go out and do it by yourself. Go out and do it. Why do you got to have somebody else go with you to hold your hand? Because why? You're uncomfortable. You know it's not right. You want to feel better about it. There's more comfort in a crowd. You know, listen, Christian people get into doing that. Christian people pulling other Christian people out of church for, you know, everything under the sun, drag them out and pulling them away from the voice of God. I was at a flea market yesterday walking around looking for everybody else's junk to see if any of their junk I wanted to put in my junk. And so I was walking along. I heard this lady on the phone. I couldn't hear the other end of the conversation. She was one of the vendors, and she had her phone up to her ear. Now listen, church, let's pay attention to this. She said, they're doing it on Sunday. They're doing it on Sunday, and I couldn't hear the other lady. Well, she said, because everybody's so busy on Saturday. Well, on Saturday, they got things to do, so they just decided to do it on Sunday. Huh? Well, what do we got to do on Sunday? Huh? See, but that philosophy permeates the church. Because now what happens on the church? People missing left and right on Sunday. You know why? Because they got to do something else. People, they never did this in the past. Never, man. This is a flaw. They never had homecomings on family reunions on Sunday. You know they have them on Sunday now? You know why? Because on Saturday everybody got so much to do. Huh? They don't have nothing. The Christians don't have nothing to do on Sunday. That's their thinking. They don't have nothing to do on Sunday. They don't look at like church like we had to do that. They have birthday parties. They have funerals. I was a pastor for several years before I ever preached a funeral on Sunday. They have funerals on Sunday. It all because the people don't want to mess up their little schedule on Saturday for whatever it is. And the Christians turn around and fall right in with the world and say, well, you know what? Yes, Sunday's going to be more convenient. It's just church. That's all we got to do. We can just miss that. You done got enticed by the lost, man. You're letting the lost dictate to you when you're going to worship your God, how you're going to worship your God, instead of you telling them, no, sir, I'm not doing it on Sunday unless it's after church or something going to get done. I'm not letting that dictate to me what's going on. Letting the lost tell you how to do things right there. We see that the Father gives instruction on how to avoid temptation as well. Look what he said in verse 15. My son, walk now in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Now, here's the easiest thing right here. Check the path that you're walking on. Which way is it taking you? Huh? Huh? The path, all paths don't lead to heaven. No, that's, check the path that you're walking on. What direction is it going? Check who you're walking with. I remember when I was in school, man, I started hanging around this boy. I was about seventh grade, I think. I was hanging around this one boy. He came up, had a rougher background than I had. You know, he's kind of cool. We want to hang around the cool people, right? You don't want to hang around anybody ain't cool, right? I mean, you want to hang around somebody cool. But, you know, my mom and dad got wind of it. Because one of the teachers, back in them days, teachers watch out for you. I guarantee you, one of the teachers called my mom and dad and said, hey, you know, Dan, they call me Danny. Danny's hanging around somebody. And, you know, so then they had to talk with me about it, hanging around with them. You know, wrong person, man, leading you down the right straight. Man, people check on that. Check who you're walking with. Who you going around with. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. If you hang around with the wrong person, you're going to end up doing the wrong thing. You're hanging around with a bad crowd, you're going to end up doing something bad. If it's an evil crowd, you're going to do something evil. That's just the way it is. Psalm 1:1 says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So we got sit, stand, walk. Don't do nothing. Don't sit, don't stand, don't walk with the ungodly. Listen, I mean, don't don't take advice from them for crying out loud. Don't take advice. I mean, I've seen more people that having a crisis in their marriage are getting marriage counseling. Christian people get marriage counseling for somebody that's lost as Hogan's goat. They don't have any biblical wisdom whatsoever. They don't got them, and they listen to them. Don't take advice about business from somebody that's not, say, the ungodly. Don't take advice about nothing from somebody that's ungodly. I mean, why would you do that? Take it from the Word of God. And if you hang with the wrong crowd, you're going to end up doing the wrong things. I don't care what happened. I don't care what happened. Then another thing he said in verse 17, listen, don't play with some temptation. I said, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Surely in vain the net is spread. That's what this is saying is, if you try to set a trap for a bird and the bird is watching, it's not going to catch the bird. The bird's smart enough to stay out of the trap. So in other words, what the Bible's basically telling you right here, be smarter than a bird, okay? Huh? Be or at least as smart as a bird. Listen, if you mess around with temptation, you're going to get caught. It's going to trap you somehow. It's going to get you. Temptation always leads to a trap. That's Satan. Because God doesn't tempt us in the same way. He tries us, but he doesn't tempt us to do evil. He never tempts us to do evil. So if there's a temptation to do evil, that's set by Satan himself. He's trying to get you in that trap. And then verse 18 and 19, it says, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. What that's saying, listen, when you disobey God by harming others, you really harm yourself. That's what happens. You harm yourself. You know, we can do whatever we want in life. God gave us a choice. There are some people don't think that, but I do. I know God gave us a choice. I'm not a robot. And you can do whatever you want in life, but I'm going to tell you what, one day you're going to have to pay for it eventually. You will have to pay for it eventually. And the price you pay is going to be far more than what the value of whatever it is you're getting for that temptation or the choice you make. And the third thing we see is the voice of salvation. All the way down to verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. In the midst of all the other racket that's going on, and Tom said when he was singing his song that, you know, we're in the last days. We know the world is waxing worse and worse, and we see stuff on TV, the political scene, the school scene, everything that's going on in the world, war's going around, and sin is promoted and laws passed to allow it, and all those type things going on. In the midst of all that, all the distractions, all the background noise, all the temptations that Satan can throw at us, there's the voice of salvation that still cries out today. This is the day of grace. We're still preaching the gospel. See, the church is still here. All you know, Satan has thrown everything he has against the Word of God. He's thrown everything he has against the church of God. He's thrown everything he has against the gospel message, or us getting the gospel message out. And I'm going to tell you something. It's still out there. It's still going forth. We're in the day of grace. And so Satan can do all he wants. We still have a voice of salvation. The voice of salvation cries out. The voice of wisdom, we see right there, which is the voice of salvation, it cries out as well. How does the voice of wisdom and how does the voice of salvation cry out? Well, number one, through creation. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Lo and behold, the song that we sung, I pointed out those Hubble telescopes. The firmament in the Bible is actually the air. It's the air. It's not the land. And so there it is. You look at that and say that there's not a God. And I'm going to tell you what, you know, it's just no way. There's no way in the world. I mean, there's people believe in the Big Bang Theory. They taught that in school, evolution. That just matter, that was the densest matter in the world, only that big. Now imagine, it's only that big. The little dot in my heart, the little dot there I got. That it blew up and created all the universe. Now, how many people in the world use dynamite to make anything, create anything? I mean, it'll create a hole. If you're looking for a hole, it'll make that. Huh? But I'm going to tell you what, boys say, hey, when we add it onto this church right here, I can see it now. Huh? Old Brother Cash came down here, threw a stick of dynamite right here in the middle of the ground. Boom! Man, the church building disappeared, right? Huh? That's what people think. That's far-fetched, isn't it? But there's people that out there, educated people, people that have education, they believe that that's how the whole universe was created. There was an explosion. I've never known an explosion to create anything but chaos. An explosion does not create. It destroys. That's all it does. So creation, it had to be intelligent design. You know, in other words, somebody got together and they laid out blueprints for this building right here. And it just didn't happen. Somebody laid out the blueprints. If you look at how the universe is built, how the universe works, do you know that if the earth isn't tilted on the axis that it's tilted on exactly, that the axis, if it's not tilted on that axis, we would burn up in the summer and freeze to death in the winter, but it's on the right axis. If it didn't spin at the speed it spins at, I think it's 25,000 miles an hour. If it didn't spin at that speed, that we would our days would be shorter and or longer depending on what it was doing. And if you ever took a top, how many of you ever played with a top? I know this is like mild stuff for the video age, you know. But old top, you wrap the string around and zing, man, that thing would be spinning. How long did that thing spin? How's the longest you ever threw one down and had it to spin? I bet you couldn't get a minute out of it. You telling me the Earth just up there after that Big Bang explosion, that the Earth started spinning in the universe, and it's been spinning for like 5,000 years now at the same speed, at the very same speed, exact same speed, sitting in the exact same spot in the Earth, in the atmosphere, you know, on the top, what did old top do when you threw it down on the floor and it was spinning? That thing walked all around the place, didn't it? It'd go around depending on the gyration of it. The Earth is sitting in the exact same spot. Got any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. Any farther away, we'd freeze to death. You're telling me that a Big Bang explosion took place and the Earth is just sitting up there and it's been spinning at the exact same speed, I mean down to the second almost, for 5,000 plus years? It's not, the Earth's not billions of years old. The teacher going to tell you that's not. Huh? But even 5,000 years? No, because God's the one that maintains that. Everything is upheld by Him, created by Him. It's all upheld by Him. So how, you know, we think about that we talk about creation, what we look at. There's a lot of scientists that were atheists when they started out and they kept studying things of the universe, studying plant life, animal life, and all that. They said, man, there's got to be an intelligent design. There has to be a creator. They know that. Nothing, and like that densest matter that came out of the middle of the air, where'd it come from? Well, you know, so in other words, what they're telling you, this is what they tell you when you boil it down far enough, that nothing created something. And they think that we believe in that God created something is far-fetched. How about that? Huh? I mean, that's more foolish than anything. So everything in creation points to intelligent design. There's the voice of salvation that cries out in the conscience. I'll give you this right here in Romans 2:14. And 6 through 16, the Bible says, for when the Gentiles, non-Jews, which have not the law of God, do by nature the things contained in the law, these Gentiles, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. How'd that happen? God did it. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. How many of you knew that there was such a thing as wrong before you ever knew God? You knew that there was things wrong. You could feel it in your soul. You'd get ready to do something wrong, and your heart rate would increase. Boy, your blood pressure would go up. You'd get nervous just like me and them cigarette thing. I mean, you just knew that something was wrong, something that if you were doing something bad. How'd that happen? Your conscience. Who created your conscience? God. Who speaks through your conscience according to the Bible? God does. The voice of God cries out in the streets, it says in verse 20, in public places, in the busyness of life. To whom does the voice of God cry? Well, there's three of them that are named off right there. The simple, the scoffers, and the fools. That's what it said back in our text. The simple, the scoffers, and the fools. The simple are naive people, the people that will believe anything but examine nothing. They're easily led astray. The Bible says they're blown about by every wind of doctrine. That's the simple people. God is speaking to them as well. The fools are stubborn. They don't have a lack of IQ, but they have a lack of spiritual desire. They think themselves wise. They the ones that think they know it all and they have no need to learn anything else. Or they have it all figured out. Y'all know people like this, right? Man, somebody pops in my mind every time I think about it. And what does the voice say? I'm going to tell you in closing right now. What does the voice say? Look in verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And there's where you see the scorners and the fools as well. How long? In other words, how long will you love simplicity? In other words, how long do you plan to stay this way? How long do you plan to stay lost and not be saved? God has spoken time and time again to your conscience. And He's telling you, but so far you have refused to listen. Look in verse 23 is his invitation. He said, turn you at my reproof. And behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. What he's saying, listen, if you listen to God and you say, you know what, I realize I'm lost, and you turn to God, he said, I'm going to pour my spirit out. A lot of people won't. A lot of people won't. They will not turn to God. And listen, he talks about them too. Look what he says in verse 24, a lot of all them verses down through there. He says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. But ye have set it all at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And he went on, he says, then in verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. There's going to be a day. You know what's going to happen? The Lord's going to come back. There's going to be a day that people are going to wake up. I'm going to tell you what, when that rapture takes place, there's going to be a lot of people that heard the gospel and they refused it. They just stubbornly refused it. And they're going to cry out in that day. But God says right there, I'm not going to hear. I'm not going to hear. Not anybody that knows. So the question today is, whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice do you listen to, really? Right now, right this second, whose voice are you listening to? It might be that God is speaking to you saying, hey, you know what? You're not saved. And you're feeling that conviction that you're not saved. Why not come down and I'm going to pray with you and you can call on God to forgive you of your sins and come into your life. Why not do that? There's another voice probably telling you not to do it, but it's not the voice of God. Can you hear the voice of God calling you to salvation through all the other voices that are in the world today? Then you have it within yourself to answer that call. Paul.